Authorities in India search for a motive in this week's attack on the U.S. Cultural Center in Calcutta. Four police officers were killed when unidentified gunmen on a motorbike opened fire early Tuesday morning. Scores of people have been questioned about the attack, which India blames on Islamic militants supported by Pakistan. The Calcutta raid has increased tensions between India and Pakistan, which began massing troops on their common border after a similar attack on India's parliament last month. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports.
The capital, New Delhi, is getting ready to celebrate Republic Day on Saturday, an event marked each year with a huge parade that winds its way through the city before it ends at the Red Fort in Old Delhi. It's a chance for the Indian military to strut its stuff. Rehearsals have been held for the past week early each morning to avoid disrupting traffic, complete with military bands and smartly turned out troops marching in perfect sync. This year's celebration will be a bit more muted, a little less dazzling than most. There will be fewer tanks, missiles, and men to please the crowds. Much of India's military might is now massed along the frontier with neighboring Pakistan, the largest such deployment in decades. Many of those troops are deployed here, along the international border in the Punjab, the agricultural heartland of what used to be British India, split straight down the middle when India was partitioned in 1947. Mist rises off small ponds in the chilly early morning air as the sun struggles to burn through the morning fog. Water buffalo hunch over their trough, attending to breakfast. This is Mawa village, just a few hundred yards behind the Indian defense line. Many of the people here, like villager Mukhtar Singh, remember the last two wars fought by India and Pakistan and are worried another might be on the way. They've sent many more troops than they did in 1965 or 1971, he says, and more equipment, tanks and other vehicles. And they've also laid many landmines, so there's no comparison. This is much, much bigger than it was back then, he says. The current situation is already claiming lives. Last week, an army truck trying to turn around on a narrow road backed into a field and hit a newly planted mine. More than a dozen soldiers and civilians were killed. Nearby, a laborer is busy cutting grass to feed his animals. A few feet in front of him is the defense line, a 20-foot-high earthen berm built by the Indian Army years ago, with bunkers dug into the side and heavily armed soldiers patrolling along the top. Below, tucked in close to the berm, several tanks and other vehicles sit under camouflage netting. The defense line is about a mile behind the actual border with Pakistan, and in between it and the border lie several Indian villages. But the residents of those villages can no longer farm, and their livestock can no longer graze. Their fields, already green with young wheat and mustard plants, have now been mined by the Indian Army to prevent a possible attack from Pakistan. Roranwala village, just up the road from Mawa, is one of those villages caught in the middle, a few hundred yards in front of the defense line. Farmer Naranjan Singh, sitting under a spreading acacia tree, says the villagers here now feel totally exposed. We can hear the Pakistanis building new bunkers. We can see their soldiers moving back and forth, and we can see their trucks bringing new supplies, Singh says. We feel defenseless. Most of the village's 500 residents, and thousands like them in forward villages up and down the border, have left their homes for safer places to the rear. Naranjan Singh says he can't go on like this much longer. Just a month ago, he says, before this crisis started, he farmed 6 acres. Now 4 of them are mined, and he can only watch, he says, while his crops wither without water. One of the village leaders, Raghavir Singh, says they'd move if they could, but can't afford to. We've seen 2 or 3 wars, and every time war comes, we have to move, and we're tired of it, he says. We'd leave if the government gave us land elsewhere, but they won't, so what can we do? His neighbor, Niranjan Singh, is more blunt. There should be a political solution, or we should have a war and finish it once and for all. Either we die, he says, or the Pakistanis die, but then at least it would be over. A mile down the road, back toward the safer area, a class of third graders is busy with its lessons at a government school, seemingly oblivious to the military buildup along the defense line that lies literally just behind their school. The soldiers manning the line say they're ready for war if it comes to it, but don't expect one. Neither do they expect to stand down anytime soon. "It's up to the politicians," says one officer, "but we're willing to wait here as long as necessary. And if there is a war," he says, "we're 100% certain we will win." Michael Sullivan, NPR News, on the India-Pakistan border in Punjab.